Here's the legitimate truth. I don't know what to say right now. We are doing this live on YouTube. So shout out to all the people watching on YouTube. But we rarely record this close to a finish of an episode. And so this is going to be a really wild experience of you and I just processing everything that just happened. This is as raw as it gets. We're just going to be processing this. I haven't talked to you at all yet. My mind is still in pieces, kind of. Hi, I got to figure this all out. Hi.
Hi, it was nice while you were getting the YouTube stuff figured out. I got a chance to start collecting my thoughts.
Did you?
It's harder too because the double finale, I think, is a first in the history of the Marvel Disney Plus stuff. So it's not just that it's us recording so quickly after the finale. It's also kind of the double content situation.
Okay, so here's what I don't have right now. I don't have a, this is the greatest thing they've ever done, or this totally didn't work. What are they doing? I just know that I was so into it that I was legitimately locked on this screen right here. Couldn't move, never pulled my phone out. Tried to take some notes. This started steering into my genre as far as the trippiness and what is going on. Yeah. Okay, let me just say, welcome to Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe hosted by myself, Kyle Sconewill, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earle. Today, we're going to be talking live about the finale of Agatha All Along, a two-part finale, episode 8 and 9. Robbie, legitimately, kick us off. Where do you want to start? I can go any direction.
Okay. I feel like I can sum up my thoughts at this point pretty quickly, and then maybe that can set the table for...
Please.
I don't necessarily want to lead the entire discussion, but I think I've decided I loved the concept of all of it. I didn't always love the execution. I think that's where I'm landing.
Okay, well, take me through it.
So the twist was incredible, like the end of the episode 8 twist. And that made it this really great tie-in to WandaVision, which sort of makes for like a more cohesive unit if we're going for the trilogy thing, and also makes it feel like more of a follow-up to Wanda's story, which I really like for Billy. And I loved the whole origin of Agatha, like her coming up with the Witch's Road, her like the song and how that fits into her relationship with her son, I think was brutal and really well done. And that whole sequence worked really well for me. But then there were things about the way all of that was presented that didn't always work for me and were kind of tough. Like the ghost visual of Agatha, like transparent Agatha talking, just felt very like, it was like Disney Channel-y, like Haunted Mansion in a way that I wasn't into. And then there were kind of like that, there were some like acting, like tonal concerns, where it was like, I think, again, on paper, I like what's happening, but some of like the final scene with Rio and Agatha and Billy felt so dialed up to me that I actually thought whenever he realized he had created all of it, that he created his version of like a Marvel ending that would be sort of like them kind of poking fun at the people that complained about the WandaVision ending. But then in the big reveal, I don't think that they're doing that. I think that that happened the way that we saw it, which then leaves me with the same like tonal concerns. But again, whenever I step back in terms of like where the show ended plot-wise and what we were able to do, I think I'm pretty happy with it. So I'm not coming away disappointed. But there were definitely scenes where I was like, ugh.
I think you need to give it a second shot. I think that just hit you in a weird way. I let me tell you some stuff I loved. I loved that at the very end of it, we talk so much about how is this going to wrap up for Agatha. And I love that they finished it with the gray area. Like, she didn't have some crazy sacrifice for Billy.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, even to the very end, she kind of betrayed him with her last little decision to do the selfish motive. Then in the episode 9, when you start seeing the flashbacks, like, there was a pretty, I thought, awesome montage of that song. When you're realizing that she literally just took that song from her son.
Oh, yeah.
Twisted it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And like, but then you're like, you're seeing that she's actually evil. So episode 9 could have been a shot for them to be like, well, actually, look how good she's been. Like, this is just misunderstood. And I love that it was like, well, actually, no, they're going to lean into, she's awful. I mean, she was killing people for hundreds of years. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she didn't have a Darth Vader reveal.
Oh,
there,
no, no. Or turn, like, I, that's what I'm saying. Really, I loved all of that. And I love the way that, like, I feel like that's definitely the moment that the Lopez Andersons were alluding to whenever Anderson Lopez.
It's, they're both Lopez, and she keeps her name Anderson for her maiden name. Does that make sense?
That had to be the moment they were alluding to whenever it was like really
central. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That there were way more layers to that song.
Which was
crazy, like, effective.
I loved everything about that. That it's whole like reveal. Yeah.
Like, to actually have it have an emotional core like that, be heartbreaking. I don't think I predicted that. I knew there was a, there was some damage in her past with Nicholas Scratch. I don't think I predicted that the song was kind of their little thing as they were going around and she just changed some of the lyrics.
Yeah.
We did, to go back here to last week, we did predict the Billy thing a little bit, or at least I brought up, like, have you heard that theory that this was all in Billy's
head? Oh, you
or
did. Like, created? Yeah. No, no, no. I thought about that. Yeah.
But I thought when it actually was being revealed, I was so, like, so many chills when it was actually being revealed, because it's showing her doing the flashback of all the songs, which, by the way, I freaking love the song. I have so much, I gotta say, I love the song itself. I love it. I've listened to it on its own, out of context, like on Spotify. I love it. Secondly, I thought this was Christoph Beck's, like, best work of the whole series. Yeah. I mean, I'm watching this episode in my studio with these nice monitors and my sub. It was so tense, and just like the theme for Aubrey Plaza's character, Rio, like the, he had this cool synth bass. I got to talk to him about it, where he gets the synth basses from, because I love his synth basses. But then again, mixing that with the Witch's Road ballad, this time even darker. The chordal changes he was using this time as it was revealing that, oh, she's using this just to suck other witches' powers. It was even darker. So I love everything. I love everything about that. I don't know where I was going with the music part, but I just loved the music.
The way that they used it and the way that they just made Agatha central to the entire, like, I loved seeing the plan for the road that she had, and like, it was just a con, and like,
that's
all
I was
of that
to.
Fit together so perfectly.
The,
like,
reveal,
I'm totally with you.
The reveal of the very last time they're actually being a door, that was dope.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, what?
And there
then
were these moments.
All the lines that you're putting together of like, oh, this is kind of like you or suits you. And then you see it in this room. Like, that was magnificent, I thought.
And
that
those
felt
were,
so Moon Knight to me.
Well, it also felt like they were really deftly, like, hidden in the episodes. Like, I didn't feel like some of those we were like, what does that mean? But there were other lines that it called back to that I had never really even thought about a lot in the moment, because there was something else going on. And I really like that, whenever you can foreshadow things and connect back in a way that's not so hand wavy. Like, sometimes that can be so overt that you're like, okay, well, this is just signaling a plot shift. But I like that, like, I didn't know about a lot of those or even think about a lot of those until the reveal.
The two things that you brought up now that I would like you to rewatch it, I challenge you to rewatch it in a different context. One, I'll agree with the ghost thing entirely. Like, I wrote unsure about Ghost Agatha. That was my only question mark of the two episodes. I don't know if it's the visual of it or if I was just uncertain about having her be around as a ghost, period.
I would label myself unsure about Ghost Agatha.
For sure. Well, yeah, you basically said you went beyond unsure there.
Well, I said the visuals. The visuals I feel very sure about in a negative way. Ghost Agatha in general, I feel a little unsure about.
if they were going to do Ghost Agatha, how would they make Ghost look? That would make you happy.
I don't feel like she had to, like, the kind of whitish hair was maybe part of it. Like, it,
okay,
if she had looked a big little bit guy more like just herself, and then maybe like a little faded, or if there was some way where they did it that was more like with the aesthetic of stuff that we saw on the road in terms of the like practical effects, I think I would have been more interested. But just something about it, it looked like it was like a Force Ghost, but worse than a Force Ghost for some reason. Because I don't hate Force Ghosts, but there was just something about the way that it presented here that didn't hit with me. It didn't, you know?
I'm
not crazy. I feel like you are.
No. I mostly agree, but I think it was so minor to me that I would never have led the episode with it. But I get it. Like, that was kind of the last thing in our head.
It was like the last scene. It was like the closing kind of emotional, like, final moment. And so that was the other thing for me, is I kind of didn't, like, I think I would have liked it more if I didn't have that as a part of the closing thing. Like, if that had been like in episode 8. And then we ended with the reveal of like everything leading up to that point, I feel like I would be coming in differently. But I'm not like overly negative on it.
I'm ready to move off it, though, and you keep bringing it up. So like, I don't agree with the other part. I have felt some acting chemistry things throughout this series. I don't think I felt it in that final sequence at all. And I think they did a really good job. This is the part I want to challenge you to watch again. I thought they did a really good job of subverting the finale being over the top. Like, they intentionally gave a shot where, okay, Agatha's getting her power back, but then it goes to Billy's perspective where he's not even seeing the battle. So it couldn't even physically turn into a CGI fest, for example, because he's in like the shed or whatever. I didn't think it was like, they didn't like draw it out, make the whole series about that one moment. It was just like, they're out of the road and it's time for her to die. Like, it's time for her to collect her payment. They didn't like have some, there was like a little bit of magic between the two of them. But even Billy, when he threw Rio away, it was very practical effecty. There's no magic. There's no like lasers coming out of his hands. It was just, she flew through the door.
That's fair. I think,
and then they didn't draw it out. Like, her just turning around and kissing her and accepting death wasn't like some drawn out finale. It was just like, nope, this is it. So I think I think that would hit you differently. I thought that was a fairly effective scene.
That moment, that particular moment worked for me. It just felt something about like Billy's arrival felt a little, reminiscent of Wanda leaving Westview. Like that vibe of like, this doesn't quite.
His very first show up with his outfit, agreed.
Yeah.
But these are these are not the core of the episode.
No, but I guess that's my point, is like, on paper, and maybe that does mean on a rewatch it will hit differently. I mean, on paper, I really like the idea of what it was doing. Like, it's just, there are certain moments where it's either like in the performances or just something about the way something looks or was presented that undermined it for me a tad. So it's okay. Like, I think it's maybe a directing thing for me. But again, this does not need to be the entire episode. I'm just being honest with my, you know, with my overall perspective.
Jen flying away from Westview looked way cooler. Do you agree? Than Wanda leaving Westview.
Agree.
They kept the camera steady and she just got smaller and smaller. And I thought it looked very realistic.
Yeah.
It looked, just looked a little more artistic in that. to me, though, the overwhelming takeaway was the twists here. And whenever a show veers into the territory of making me guess and making me not be able to guess what's going to happen, I love it so much. Like, I think that's why the Moon Knight reveal in episode 4 was so cool to me.
Right.
Because I never even got a hint of it through 4 episodes that was even possible. And then all of a sudden for him to get shot, to wake up in the hospital, was so mind blowing to me. So like Nolan-esque, almost, I don't know. It just felt so wild to me. You know how I love that. I've told you that. Like, I love the 10 Cloverfield Lane thing where it's like, this is wild. So anyways, when they like think for a while, like the road is a circle and they're back at the beginning. And then I was like, wait, how are they back at the beginning? And then there's not another trial. And then I'm starting to realize like Agatha really has no idea what is going on with the road. Then that shot of Rio just cutting a hole in the siding of it and leaving.
Yeah, that was
like,
cool.
Like paper, like Truman Show-esque. To me, I also thought that was amazing because that was one of the things throughout the road that felt, the road never felt like, I brought this up. It never felt visually like crazy deep. Like there wasn't a bunch of depth to it. Like it looked like I could see the end of the road.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
something was just plastered on there. Like something about the road always felt a little bit visually off. And so I love this. I love this instead where it's literally like in his head, a created set, which helps me.
Yeah.
Like if I was showing someone else, I could be like, just wait till they get to the end. Like it'll make sense.
It looks like a set, but like a stage set.
Correct.
Like a play. It's like a fun, it doesn't look like you're on like a studio set in a bad way, like a soundstage.
It also just gets me so excited. Like that helps answer why the subway was there. We're like, why would you have a subway to get off the road? It's because these are all just things from his like memory and his life in Eastview. And you know, like.
Well, and I think Greg told me about this. I think that there's a line early on in episode 2 or 3, I guess, where Mrs. Hart talks about like the old abandoned subway lines.
Yeah, that was a failed subway. That's what I'm saying though. But it's because so it's like from Billy's experience.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
I didn't know if we covered that.
Then I love Rio cutting a hole in the set. But then I love that all of a sudden they just awoke in another trial. And I didn't even understand like how. I actually went back like 30 seconds. Did I miss it? Did I zone out for a second?
Right.
So then I was guessing what that was. And then I was thinking like, okay, is this truly Moon Knight where they're waking up? That, and this is like really where they were the whole time. Like they were in this like science lab the whole time and it was all fake. Then it ends up not being that. So I could just keep going. But that whole thing just kept me like, for me, just kept me being like, what, where are we going with this? Then they disappear. And I'm like, okay, so did he die there? Did he actually pull Tommy into another body with that? Did Jen get her power? Where did she go? So I'm guessing about that, not knowing. Then I thought that was a really dark scene, actually, and like really sad.
Yeah.
Another kid being drowned. And he's like, am I doing this or is this happening? So that's why, like, I think I was in that mindset. So then when we get the battle right after that, where she goes, let me out, I just thought that was such a minor part of where it was going. And then it's like, okay, now I'm putting it together. Like, one of them has to die. I get it. Why? Then there is still twist there because she turns him in. And I'm like, dang, she's actually going to betray him to the very end. And then he communicates with her and she does the right thing. And so like, I don't know. Then the flashback, then the reveal of everything I talked about with the song being from Nicholas Scratch and explaining why Nicholas Scratch had to go and what it looks like when Rio takes people, seeing that with Alice. And then, yeah, the song was such a highlight for me. That montage of her doing it after losing her son. Sorry, this is a long rant. But that's why I think little concerns weren't my lasting takeaway. I was like, just into like, oh my gosh, we're doing that. Oh my gosh, we're doing this. So I'll shut up.
No. This is good for me. Here's the thing. Like what I was just saying about the twist. What I loved about it is everything that you pointed out, like any concerns that I ever had in the, like on the road, I felt were basically handled by that twist, like what you were just saying with the set, but kind of across everything. Like it makes, like even the times whenever I was like it makes me not as upset about episode 4. You know what I mean? Like because I look back at
that. Because it makes way more sense now. He has that record and...
Right. It's like it's all like when it's kitschy, it's because it's in his brain and it's kitschy. You know,
even
like
the broomstick riding. Now I think you would view it in a different light.
Because it's like his cartoony version of what he thinks
being
a witch would be and what these trials would be. And he like was watching the YouTube videos of Jen before. So like she was in his brain and like Lilia he knew from the dance.
Shout out to everyone watching, by the way. This is amazing. Someone brought this up and I'm losing track of where it was. But just to clarify something I said, the road itself was real. Like meaning Billy created it.
Right.
They
right.
did go somewhere.
It wasn't like in their mind.
Correct. And people died.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually died on it.
So it is like a more serious version of what Wanda did in Westview.
Which is something we have to talk about. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. It's even more intense, and that's what I want to talk about too.
Right.
Is like they don't wrap up Billy's character in like a, I'm only going to choose to do the right thing. Yes, he's sad that people died. But there's that line where he says, Agatha says, well, I kill people for my coven. And he goes, so do I. And then they kind of like embrace like, okay, we can figure some of this stuff out together as a team. Again, ignore the cheesiness of the ghost for you. I actually think it's kind of a crazy place to leave the characters just because,
yeah.
Like, and by the way, what if, this would help my mind. What if it's a ghost that only Billy can see? Or what if it's that same thing where only witches can see it and it becomes like kind of like a mentor? Didn't you talk about how in the comics, Agatha kind of was in that role a lot?
I did think about that. No,
which is kind of what they want to maybe use the ghost as potentially.
Yeah. I'm not.
I know.
I think part of it is.
But what I was trying to say is the fact that Billy kind of did some bad stuff and has some gray area. Like he is not the one always looking out for all of them. I thought that was wild.
Yeah, I think. Oh wow, we can see the chat here.
Yeah, I got the chat pulled up over here. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know.
You can see it on Riverside.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Wow, nice.
How? Where?
If you go over to the happening live.
Oh, chat. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's where the chat is. If you click chat.
Oh, they can chat in Riverside. How dope is that?
Never would have thought.
Look at us figuring stuff out. This is going to be in the podcast, by the way. Shout out to everyone watching. This is so cool for us. I love reading this.
I think I said something a couple episodes ago that I stand by, though, which is, I'm not sure that this. Wow. Did you hear
that? I heard that. Hey, okay. I'm not sure that this what? Is he mad or is he hungry or what was that sound?
I think he just wants options.
He wants options.
Like we all do. I think I'm just not sure this incarnation of Agatha needs to be that or can be that yet. But I think if I see it again in the right project and if it's presented in the right way, I could get there. Like there are versions of her that even showed up in episode 9 that I would see as like embodying that a bit. But I think the problem is when she shows up in ghost form, she's kind of doing like, I'm sassy and silly. And it feels which is what makes me feel a little more like Disney Channel-y. But then in the moments
would
when she's being a little bit more sincere, when she's like,
oh,
grabbing
gosh.
The, I'm just saying that's why I'm like, if she's going to do the, like that kind of like, I'm like Jiminy Cricket with a twist thing, then I don't necessarily want more of her. But if I'm going to get a version of her, that's like a little bit more like, you know, Ben Kenobi, then that I can get down with. But I would need to see the personality. Like I think what's hard for me a little bit with that is it feels like it's leaning into the like very small sliver of WandaVision that I don't jive with as much, which we've talked about is like the scene of her kind of floating with the fingers were just a little too something like in one direction for me. But
do you see Tanner's comment? Read it out loud, please. For our podcast audience.
This is the Disney Channel. It is a Disney streaming platform that hosts shows for adults. but it did not kill it for me. It did not kill the concept of a ghost mentor Agatha. I would need to see it done a little bit differently, I think, to give it my endorsement.
Yeah, somehow we're back on the ghost, but I'm with you. I just thought it was interesting that they were leaving the character, whether it was a ghost or not, kind of in that mentor, like could pop yeah. in or out role. And that Billy seems to have some gray area like Agatha. So even if it's a ghost that's only visible to him, they could get there's ways around
yeah,
that
yeah.
to not have her around a ton
For
in
sure.
the future, or that he can just communicate with her because of his power. I did think it was an interesting place to leave the character.
That does actually seem like something that that Billy would have based on, like, I feel like his powers are a lot more like telepath focused than Wanda's were. So I could see a world where it's like he sees and hears things that others don't, but maybe I'm just like in a sixth sense mindset.
I'm going to get to a few of these comments after a quick word from these sponsors. So Tanner brings up that he wants these characters picked up in Vision Quest. That is fascinating to think about. We talked a lot about how if this is a trilogy, the WandaVision trilogy, this was the middle section. It sure feels like now in Vision Quest, there's got to be a Tommy character or some kind of effort to bring him back. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
That's where we're headed.
I also wonder, no pun intended, if this connects to Wonder Man at all. Because it, you know, in the comics, Vision is modeled in part after Simon Williams, who is Wonder Man. And that's obviously not the way that the MCU did it. But I feel like the fact that those shows are coming out like sort of in the same time period makes me think that they may do a little bit of a shout out. Also, like Vision Quest in the comics is kind of a West Coast story. And so, because it's like a West Coast Avengers period thing. So I could see with what I've read and seen about Wonder Man, maybe we get some hints in that direction also. But yeah, I do feel like we have to get some closure on the Billy Tommy stuff, which I really love. Like, I feel like that's a great way of making that last scene of WandaVision with the family like really count. Like, it's doing one of those things that I think you and I have always praised Marvel for doing effectively, which is like retroactively infusing things with even more meaning.
Didn't you love Beck working in that theme a couple of times?
I really did. That was like, really that was great did. For me. That was
really
great
did. Mad Meme Titan says Vision can look up some boy that drowned in a lake, but survived miraculously. And that is a good question. Because Billy was able to get into this other body because he has powers like Wanda. That's my understanding, right? He has actual like mental powers, mind powers. But Tommy is just fast, doesn't have any of the mind powers, correct? He can't hear people's thoughts that
right,
we know of.
Right.
So he can only get into another body with Billy's help. There's no way his spirit would know how to jump into some other body.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's what happened. I feel like what Agatha was coaching him through was how to do what he did for himself for his brother. But I don't think that like once Tommy has a body, then he's just, that's Tommy now. Like, I don't feel like there's any other level.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But I do have a question about that though.
Please.
And for anybody that's listening live, that's a little odd. Or I thought it was a little odd, I guess, that Billy would be like a little boy Tommy would be like a little boy and Billy would be like a teen.
How young did you think he was?
Well, it felt like, you know, if he was like drowning in the lake, it kind of felt like it was the.
Like, no, I think he was being drowned. Someone was holding him down. Which is awful.
That makes more sense. Okay. And they were saying a boy, but it's like a Billy age boy. It's not like a small child.
I don't think it's a small child. You saw his feet. I would have to watch it again. I could maybe do it here in a second.
I think I just missed that then. But that was my question. So
no,
you get the
I
sense
think the
that they
kids
are,
were pranking him and then they said that's what they said. They're playing a prank on him. And then there was a shot where there was a hand
like
on
a,
his neck.
Oh, see, I missed that.
Which is like absurd. But
so yeah. It was like a bullying thing.
Okay. Yeah. How old do you think teen/Billy is anyways? He's driving.
I think they told us at one point. Well, he had his bar mitzvah.
17?
Which is, how many years ago was that before we, anyway. Yeah, I'm sure somebody knows the exact age.
But again,
age
it's not
going
to be a little boy, but I don't think it has to be a twin now. Like, I don't think he has to find a body that is exactly the same age.
No,
alike.
But I think I just wanted to make sure that it was, in fact,
yeah,
like
it,
that they were going to be
teenager.
The same age. Okay.
Yeah, of some sort. That's a great question. Did you think that in general, the emotional stuff there worked? And I bring this up all the time on the podcast. I just wonder if some of this stuff changes for me once I had a child. Now that I have a child, all the stuff with Nicholas Scratch, but also the kid that's being drowned and bullied, Billy wrestling with what his life looks like, all of that resonates with me more now. So I thought everything with that worked.
16, by the way, is what we have folks helpfully offering. That makes sense.
Just driving. Okay. Did that work for you? That stuff? The emotional stuff with all the kids stuff and
the stuff. I mean, I really, I think even the way that I started talking about what I hoped would be like the full scope of the reveal, like that aside, I really love everything else about that reveal, including it feels like very symmetrical. And I really thought like the emotional moments in the Agatha flashback episode hit so hard that it was like, that did deliver on what I was hoping for, which was give us kind of the big bang Marvel finale that feels like it could be the last episode, and then give us like the actual last episode, which is actually way more intimate and what I think WandaVision did so well in episode 8, which I think is the most memorable episode for a lot of people other than maybe like episode 1.
Yeah, they kind of flip-flopped them here, right? A little bit.
Yeah, it's true.
In some ways.
So I liked all of that. I mean, the stuff with Nicholas was like that, like the scene of Rio carrying him off and what Beck was doing there and then her waking up was like a brutal 2 minutes.
I thought that the kid did a really good job. I wrote down, and this is not like anything revolutionary, but I thought it was fascinating that towards the end, he had a little more of a heart than Agatha in that last scene where he skips out on the plan. He is going to trick that other nice lady into Agatha sucking her soul. And instead he's like, you know what? You can kill witches tomorrow. Like, we don't have to do it today. There's no revolutionary thought there, but I did think that was interesting to include that he started questioning kind of like, what are we doing thing?
Well, it does make for a nice mirror image of her relationship with Billy and why she says at the end, but it's like this, you see why she had a soft spot for him from the beginning, because he talks to her in a very similar way and is kind of trying to nudge her towards the light. And so in that way, I also think it's a really interesting like next step of the relationship she had with Wanda, where you kind of see Wanda eventually having her impact on Agatha, if only through Billy. But it's kind of, you start off in the series and she's like, you're not, you know, midway through, like, you're so much like your mother, as kind of an insult. But you see by the end that it's actually something that she's sort of craving, like a level of compassion and empathy towards her. But also I think that she, like, you know, needs permission to kind of to give again to some extent. So I feel like in that sense, I felt like that was the way that they did that back in her origin felt like a really nice piece of connective tissue through the entire series. But again, like another thing that I think connected back to the first series pretty well too.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm obviously going to need more time to reflect on it before I place it ranking wise. I did feel like in general, the show was surprising across the board and more effective than maybe I thought it would have been a year ago. So in general, I would say Agatha all along exceeded my expectations as a show. And because most of the reveals were answered, I'm kind of going to open up this last few minutes here to these comments, because I just read a couple of good ones from Layla. Layla says, Kyle, it's almost like Rio let him live long enough to realize his mom was evil, LOL. But I'm thinking about, do you have an explanation how Rio could give her more time? Like why? I guess the understanding was that Rio was able to make a one-time exception out of love for Agatha. Like that's the only time we saw Rio staved off, was that one time with Nicholas Scratch, which is obviously like the scar that she's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, but I wonder why that one time was the exception. And that's what they're referencing in that line.
Well, and not to like answer your question with a question, but what is it about what Agatha did that she feels so much guilt about?
That Rio feels guilt about?
No, Agatha does. Like when she's like, she doesn't want to face him. What is it that she, I mean, she didn't just her doing like killing the witches.
I think
disappointing her son, or
I thought it was a little bit of a rival vibes, which where like, you know, the okay, I'm gonna spoil a rival here for a second, but the twist being once she realizes that time is not linear and she can see the future, they get a divorce over that fundamental question, which is if you knew this boy was destined to die, would you still have this child? Knowing that they're going to be taken from you at age 6. And in that movie, Jeremy Renner's character can't handle that the girl who could see the future would still like go along with the pregnancy and everything, knowing it's just going to rip our heart out in like 5 years. But
yeah,
Amy Adams' character sees the beauty in the life for 6 years. And I wonder if there's a little bit of that here, which is like, if she had just never brought it up, never done that, then maybe she wouldn't have the guilt of like, she knew Rio was coming for him at some point.
Yeah.
Agatha did. And there's a guilt there of like, but yeah, it's not like she did trade the Darkhold or anything like that.
But
I just wonder if there's more like a fear of also maybe how she spent her time with him.
Well, so, okay. Tanner actually just made a good, well, there are a lot of good points being made in the chat currently, which is a plug for our YouTube. But yeah. Tanner just for said, sure. I didn't think about it this way, that she got so many bodies in exchange for that time. That makes total sense because that's kind of the deal that she made with Rio again once she was on the road. So was that kind of the unspoken thing, and that's why she had to keep taking those witches power?
Oh, again, raw conversation here. I didn't think about
that.
She
was like,
that.
I need it to survive. And he was like, why do we have to, like, why can't we just stay with them? And she says then, because they'll kill us. And you think it's because, oh, like Agatha's so.
Okay. Like, okay. Let me ask you another question. Why, I guess, was Rio / death? Why was death, remove the Aubrey Plaza part of it, but like, why was death after Agatha the whole time? Because of that, because she had dried up giving her bodies in exchange. Did I miss that? Like,
I think just because she's lived so long. Like I think it's like by doing that, Agatha
she's
has
cheating
also,
death, kind of.
Yeah, like she has, because I guess her ability to absorb people's magic is what keeps her.
But why
young,
is Jen? Because like, Jen was around for 100 years, style. Right? Jen was around for 200 years. Why does she not age then?
That's a good point. Oh yeah, and Lilia too. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, why isn't Rio after them?
Right. And if Rio, why is Rio so pissed at Agatha is another question I have to our audience right now. Like, I understand they had
that's
a broken relationship. I guess she said, Agatha says, if I ever see you again, I'm going to hate you forever. And then she obviously does show up with Nicholas. But why would Rio then be mad? Just because they never worked it out? I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm also thinking, did Billy actually summon Nicholas, like his spirit with the Ouija board in episode 5?
Why? What did it spell out again? Remind me.
Yeah, 5. Whenever like Nicholas scratches or it sounds like a kid's voice was there for a second and he's like, Mom, stop. Whenever Billy is like using the Ouija and it spells out Nicholas Scratch. right? Did I make that scene?
Yeah, it's possible he knew about that a little bit. By the way, Loden says that she was just pissed because Agatha dumped her for a guy and had a kid. I didn't think about that. Maybe that's true. I mean, she obviously did have a child with a man. So maybe they just broke up.
Oh, yeah. I guess
to answer why Death is pissed at Agatha.
But she's not acting pissed when she shows up.
Well, like
initially.
Okay, but like the very first scene, and I think it's episode two when, you know, she attacks her from the trailer and all that.
Yeah.
She wants her dead from that scene. I mean, she says, like, I'll let the Salem Seven get you, or like, maybe I can do it this way, or maybe I can do whatever.
Yeah.
Rio's clingy.
That's. Wait, so also is.
I'm more subscribed to your theory, which is like just that she's kind of cheated Death for so many years that it's like she's overdue.
And I also, there's like a weird amount of Star Wars references for me tonight.
I love it.
But the, I thought for a second, and I do need to rewatch it to catch some of these things, but I thought that like his name, Nicholas Scratch, was that it was like an Anakin thing. Like he was like a virgin birth situation. I don't know why I went to Anakin before Jesus Christ, but you know, this is the world that we live in.
Are those the only two virgin births I can think of right now? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, personally.
Well, she said scratch as in no magic. I thought that meant like she didn't conjure a spell. She had sex with a guy.
Oh, see, I thought it was scratch like, as in like you came from nothing. Like, you know, but I don't
know. It's possible. That's possible too. I thought it was just that.
Wow. Tanner had a midichlorians comment.
That makes me
feel better. Makes me feel like 10%
yeah.
less. But
midichlorians,
way,
force like, ghosts. Look at us.
Yeah. I do think like, I'm still confused because I feel like they were setting up like a real bad breakup moment, which I guess they had whenever, but I don't know. It felt more sad than mad. So it's like whenever they saw each other and were so pissed, I thought that there had to have been some like betrayal moment or something.
In general, I do think it speaks to the overall quality of the storytelling in this series though, because I love whenever I can get to the end and feel pumped up by all the twists and all that. But then the more I process it, all these things come together. And then there are still a few dangling threads that I don't think are oversights. I think I just need to rewatch it. Like, I bet some of this stuff will be picked up on now on a second watch. The Christopher Nolan concept. The Robbie Earl concept, honestly.
Yeah, no. I do actually. I agree with you in that. In general, the writing of this show, I think, has been the highlight for me. Like the writing, in like the story as a whole, and I think the dialogue for the most part, because it just feels super intentional. Like I do feel like, as I'm asking these questions, I don't view them as plot holes. Like I assume, like you said, that they are answered, and it makes you want to go back and watch it, which is the hope. Especially for a show like this.
I like this comment from Mina because I think this is how I feel. I took it as Agatha lost her powers, so she was no longer cheating Death, so Rio knew her time was running out. That's what I think I was kind of hinting at.
So she was...
Because like since Westview, she hasn't been turning in anybody's or, you know.
So is it... Do you think it's the case that any... Do witches just not age, period, or like at a certain pace? Like, will Wanda age moving forward? Like, do you think that there are rules to that? Because it would make more sense to me if Agatha was the only one that had stayed alive this long.
The Jen bit's a little bit confusing too. So, by the way, Jen was bound by Agatha, not some guy.
Well, I guess she cast it like someone paid her to cast a spell on a witch, and she didn't know who the witch was, but she like cast the spell for the money. So I don't think Agatha
from that guy.
Yeah. So I think like the guy that bound Jen hired Agatha But I don't think Agatha knew that that's who she had bound. So that's why she was like, oh, I didn't know that you ever came to the area.
Yeah, I would be curious to hear a little bit more about Jen's story too, because the agent thing is curious. Are we just supposed to believe that all witches live for hundreds of years, I guess? I think you're right. It would have made more sense in my brain with the Rio-ness of all this if Agatha was the only one that has been around for 300 years. Like if Jen was actually 40 or whatever,
yeah,
that'd make more sense to me.
It's also, you know, and this is fine because we're getting into witch stuff, but I think that this is just where it's, maybe more of this will come with Wiccan and like as Billy grows in his power and understands it, maybe that will be kind of our way of like our exposition dump of learning how all this stuff actually works. But I do feel like I understand more about certain parts of the MCU magic rules, but there are also moments where it's like you're in the 18th century and all these witches, like they're not like Billy in the beginning of the show when, you know, they have like spell books and they're practicing potions. Like they all have the, like, I'm going to blast you with this color light and then she absorbs it. And I'm just curious what that power is and like, how does that correspond to like the energy that Doctor Strange conjures from like the dark dimension or other dimensions? You know what I mean? Like, is that like, what is that power and what separates that power from like Wanda's, other than the fact that Wanda's is just like more? Like, is it totally different in kind and more? Or does every witch have like kind of like a weaker version of Wanda's powers and Agatha's powers?
It seems like a weaker version of some kind of blast of energy is possible with most witches if you achieve a certain level. Doesn't that feel correct? The part that people can't achieve that Wanda and Wiccan can is all the reality warping stuff, right? That part I haven't seen replicated, correct?
Like outside of Wanda and Billy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what makes them different.
That's true. That's true. But like, yeah, the, like the energy.
Like blast. Him throwing that one blast at her.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we saw Rio do that and we saw Agatha do that.
Yeah. So, I guess my point is it's not really a dig. I think it's just a question that I have coming out of the show. Like I would like.
For sure. It's the same question you asked about Loki.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of like I don't need them to make it make sense because, again, we're talking about like witch superheroes, but I want to know like what their, like what, how they view it, because I'm sure that the writers have a version of this canon kind of in their head, and that's what I would just like to get. So I guess we'll just have Jack on the show. It's fine.
We'll just take care of her.
We'll ask her.
Neil, I'm about to close this out, but I would really love you to educate me on Jen and her comics history. So I'm going to buy you like 2 minutes so you can type this up because I do want to hear it.
I actually don't think that I know what that comics history is.
Oh, so now Robbie's going to research it. So why don't you just educate us, Neil, and educate our entire audience on some Jen background. I like to close this by just saying, where do we go from here? And it feels like, again, we talked about the ghost stuff a lot. It feels like they're off to find a Tommy. The next time we may see them might not be until Vision Quest. Like, I don't think we're going to get a lot of Wiccan in Captain America, in Daredevil. I'm going to say this again. This is what's wild about this phase we're currently in. Hold on.
Sorry.
Neil's gonna educate us.
Sorry.
This is what's interesting in this phase we're in right now is that we just got this whole project. We're asking questions about ghosts and magic and the extent of the power and bringing people back to life and all of this stuff. And then the next bunch of projects, like we're not going to follow up on this vibe with Captain America. We're not going to follow up with Daredevil, Thunderbolts. It may be years, is my point.
Yeah.
Jennifer Kale was introduced in Man-Thing. She was Ted's girlfriend. Oh.
Wow.
There wasn't more tie there, though, to the MCU, Ted.
Well, I know that, like, I'm looking this up now, and I feel like I am vaguely aware of the character. Like, I feel like I've maybe read a few events from the kind of Bendis era where she would show up. But I see now why Neil maybe is saying that, because I think she is associated with the Midnight Suns, which is the team. I think you and I have talked about that a little bit. There's a video game out that maybe makes people more familiar with it currently, but it's like the dark kind of monsters and legends side of the Marvel Comics universe with Blade and like Black Knight.
Dane so Whitman.
So it could be, there could be a connection there. You know, there is a big emphasis on her flying off. So it's so funny because the whole time you and I were joking about seeing Jen show up again in the future. Yeah. And now it actually is like almost certain that she will, I think, in a legitimate capacity.
With her potions, although now she has power, not just potions, but yeah. That's funny. Again, should be noted, the visual of her flying away looked better to me. Liked that. I was into the whole thing in general. I hear your concerns. I'd love you to watch it again. I'd love to watch it again just to process a few more of these things. I'm sure there are some things I'll catch.
Can I also say, please. I'm feeling a lot better about it than I was when I was sitting down.
Good.
And
good.
Feeling that way, I realized how rarely I am the one being sold on something.
I know.
Like, not because you're negative. I just feel like my role is always like, I'm always trying to show people what they're missing in a thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm just emptied out. I need to be filled up with a little bit of that. Someone show me what I'm missing in a thing. And I feel like I've gotten that. I feel like it's a nice feeling.
You're amazing at that. It's one of your greatest strengths. It's one of the reasons we started the podcast, showing people, curating things for people. So often, though, the podcast is built on you need me to be passionate about it so that I can kind of get excited about it. And then you can take it and curate and go from there and show people the reasons why. And it is strange when I come on here like heart racing because I feel like I'm that in. And you're kind of like, well, I didn't like the ghost. That's not normal for us. So I got to figure that part out. But
it was
I'm glad we helped fill your tank a little bit.
Yeah.
Shout out to everyone involved in this. This is really fun. We do hope to do more of this stuff in the future. I just love getting live feedback like this. We did this after Loki season 2 and it was amazing too.
Yeah.
Man, there's a little bit of me that's bummed it's over, to be honest.
It was fun. It was fun. Like, this kind of show was fun because, like we said before, you know, watching this alongside the Penguin, which has done so excellently, but, you know, it's not like you're not doing the kind of twists there that you can do here because it's just not that kind of a show. Like, you're not going to do like a Moon Knight Lost type thing.
Sure.
And so the fact that we've had a week-to-week show where it's like, it felt like anything could happen to any of the characters was really fun, which is also why I'm really glad that the deaths were real and stuck, because I feel like it gave all of that weight instead of just undoing it. So I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be a little bit sad to not have a road to keep walking down.
Oh, down, down, down.
Except we do.
That's
except
not the right
we
key.
Do.
Down the witch's
because
road. Oh, here we go. Hello.
The road to Secret Wars.
Oh, wow.
We're continuing along that road. Witch's Road, over. It's done. Road to Secret Wars. We are back in the Comics Corner on Friends from Work Plus. And this next week, we are discussing the first issue in the second volume of Hickman's Avengers. So I wanted to say that now so that if anybody needs to still get the comic, they'll have time to order it and get caught up. You can do that at organicpricebooks.com.
Oh,
use
my
code
gosh.
Friends from Work.
Look at
that.
You working in Friends from Work Plus and Organic Price Books plugs here. I'm going to say one more thing.
They used to call me a one-take wonder.
This is not good podcasting, but I'm gonna quick say one more thing, go back. Live, when I was watching for the first time, there's a part of me that I took a note down that said at the end of episode 8, I wonder why they didn't let that be its own week. For a second, I thought, man, it almost could have been fun to sit on that reveal of I created the road and then boo, and not ever seeing Agatha. I was kind of thinking, like, why wouldn't that be its own episode? And then we next week come back to it. Then I watched 9 and I think I get why. Like, I do think 9 would have been criticized more as a finale, as a standalone episode. Like, if we waited a week, built up that now he did the road, and then that was it. 9 at points almost felt like an epilogue. The fact that we were flashing back and getting that answer, that, like you talked about, it felt like episode 8 and 9 of WandaVision in tone, but swapped kind of. And so I think that's why they did it more than anything. Like, get this finished by Halloween. And then I think it will be reviewed even more favorably with both of these being watched at the same time. But I just wanted to add, in the moment, I was like, man, that's an incredible cliffhanger that you could have made us wait for a week on. But yeah.
No, that's a really good point. I thought the same thing initially, but yeah, it does. It's interesting because in a way that, like, that is almost a response to the WandaVision finale. Because, like, it almost makes me wonder, like, how that would have hit as a 2-in-1. Because, it's like, it's different in the way that it leads in, and obviously it's reversed. But I do think that in some ways, like, as I was watching episode 9, I felt a little bit of, like, an Infinity War Endgame thing, in that it felt like they were two parts of a story, and not that it needed to be part one and part two of an episode, because they were doing different things, but I really liked it being presented that way. And I do think, if we had waited a whole week and everyone would have gone crazy thinking, like, what all Billy had made up and what was going on. And I think then if you came back and had, like, a quieter episode, everybody would have complained.
I think there would have been complaints.
Well, yeah, I think that's right. It's a good call.
This has been so much fun. You guys are all the best. We tell you that all the time. I'm not sure what next week holds in store, because I will be at Disney World a week from right now, which is going to be amazing. So I can't wait to tell you all about that. But I'm not sure if we'll do a reflection right away next week or skip a week, let everyone process more. I don't know. But I do appreciate everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for following. We love you guys so much. Thanks for being a part of the discussion. And we'll be back here sometime soon. Back on Friends from Work.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.